We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 174. I'm the guy with a terrible memory that almost forgot the episode. Once again, Mr. Morgan, and the guy that's actually Mr. Austin. How the fuck is it going,
buddy? Are you not a mister?
Not legally? I don't know.
I think
you're Mr. You're Mr. Times Two, my friend.
Okie dokie.
We took too long to set up, and now I'm extra stoned.
Excellent. Very nice. Well, yeah, it's going good. I worked my last shift at my current store. We are closing that location, and I'm moving to a different location.
Rude.
So I'm not upset because it's a busier location. And
yeah, we've been through this.
As a salesperson, it is good. Anyway, not much is going on. Just living.
Well, that's living, always the bonus. Living and loving, hey?
Dreaming. And what? Just, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Are you going to ask about me, or?
Well, yeah, I guess. Fine. What about you?
I am good, my friend.
Great. That's good.
No, as I've teased about the past couple episodes, I have been real excited to go hunting. It's always an exciting time in my life. I'm starting to question why.
Okay.
It's just been too warm out for hunting. Deer don't want to run around and fuck each other when it's nice and warm out. Yeah. Also known as rutting. And to top all that off, with the few chances that I have gotten, I've had some awful gun luck. Like, you know, bullets falling out of my gun when I'm trying to shoot, and bullets not going into my gun when I'm trying to shoot. My dad getting mad at me when I'm trying to shoot. Yeah, so no results so far.
Okay.
Besides lots of swearing. But we live and learn, and next weekend, I guess in a week, more or less a week from as of recording, I'll be going out again for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and, well, I guess fingers crossed. Hopefully I get something so it's not a complete waste. But even if I don't get anything, hunting with zero results is better than most days. So
fair.
But a little bit other news for myself. December 9th
is going to be... What?
December 9th, Austin, is not gross because I'm going to be taking my PAL course for the first time. And no, for the people that don't know what that is, it's not a course to learn how to get friends. Although I could take that course a few times and still not get any friends.
Ooh.
because I'm too cool for them, obviously.
That's true.
But for the people that actually don't know what that is, it's your possession acquisition license, so you can legally own firearms. Yeah, so that's a kind of a big deal for me. In theory, I should do fine with that test.
In theory.
Because I have been shooting guns for about...
what, like 40 years?
26 years. I've been doing it since I was legally allowed to do it.
Legally?
Not since I've been five. So
moving on.
That's going on. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's just a 1 day course, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. So $155. Which that's kind of a bummer, but if I known better, I should have asked my uncle who also does the test, and he just doesn't happen to he lives a couple hours away from me. So it really does, I really didn't want to wake up at 5 a.m, drive there for 8, and then take the course, even though it would have been half the price. But so I guess stay tuned for a couple more episodes, and
or don't.
Oh, please do. Or and don't. See how that turns out. But even though Austin doesn't want you to stay tuned for my news, what you should absolutely stay tuned for, no. Shut up. I'm doing a transition. What you should stay tuned for is plugs when Austin doesn't fuck up the transition.
Oh, plugs. Yeah. Well, you should follow us. Well, first you should comment, download, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Give us 5 stars or thumbs up or whatever app you're listening on. TSWGS pod, I believe it is.
Probably, yeah.
On TikTok, where we sometimes do videos, but not many. And
we've really been slacking on that as of late.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A wee bit. But yeah, how about you?
Caption Morgan too. There's just no reason why you should follow me on anything, but that's what you got.
That's what you got.
One thing I should point out, because it could end up being important later in the episode, I've been having some laptop charger issues. So if all of a sudden we have to make a quick pivot,
quick cut,
that is why. I just thought I'd get that out in the open, because earlier my charger was shooting sparks at me. So that's not normal.
Yeah, that's not the intended design.
But right now, we're looking good. No fires have started. Knock on wood. So,
have you knocked yet?
I knocked a couple times.
No, I was asking the audience.
Oh.
Tweet us. Let us know.
We will wait for the tweets.
Yep. Oh, there's one. Oh, no. That's just an email.
We don't want emails.
Well, we should move on.
Yeah, probably. Because this is getting weird.
Yeah, stuff happened.
Yeah, folks, ladies and gentlemen, humans of the world, we have an outcome. This is terrible. Someone won the 110th Grey Cup, and I'm about to tell you about it.
Okay, dokey. Excellent. So, can't wait for that.
This game was something else, before I really get to the score or anything like that, I do want to mention a couple things. One, in 110 years of Grey Cups, this is the first time a Winnipeg team versed a Montreal team. They've never played against each other in the Grey Cup. And I thought that was kind of bonkers.
Damn, that is kind of bonkers.
But this time, they finally get to face off each other in Hamilton. Winnipeg being at the last four Grey Cups. Montreal, this is their first Grey Cup since 2010. Back in Anthony Calvillo days.
Oh, that fucker. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good old times as a Ryder fan, watching him win lots. And then there's a 2011 gap for both me and Austin, and other things happened. But that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is the fact that the Montreal Alouettes are the 110th Grey Cup champions, beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Not 110. More like 28-24.
That sounds more reasonable.
Dude, it was a hell of a game. I watched it start to finish. Did some cleaning, especially during the second quarter, because I'm not gonna lie, that quarter was a little bland. But boy, oh boy, didn't have quite the start and quite the finish. So much. So I actually took notes and prepared for this game or for this podcast. I mean, to start things off, Winnipeg really just did what Winnipeg does best, and that is control the clock. For the first half, well, really all game, Winnipeg was able to run time down, and for the longest time it looked like that was going to be the key to victory. But as we all know now, because I told you, that was not so much the case, which is, as a Ryder fan, I'm not going to lie, it was a lose-lose situation for this.
Yeah.
For the outcome. Because, you know, I hate the Bombers. And I'm not going to be one of those pity Ryder fans that are going to be like, oh, we should have kept Cody. And we should have kept Jason Moss. And now I'm sounding like Donald Trump. And I don't know why.
Yeah, that would got weird.
I'm not going to be one of those people, because I'm actually a big fan of Cody. He just was not the right fit in the Ryder market, because he's, as he's shown in Montreal, he's a lot better when the huge spotlight that you get as a Ryder quarterback, starting quarterback, is on you at all times. You don't really get that as much in Montreal.
Yeah.
He was able to just play football, do his thing. Yeah, and really just managed a great game. He went 21 for 26. 290 yards, three touchdowns, and only one interception, which to do that against a very, very good Winnipeg defense is kind of remarkable. I will say this now, looking at stats, I do wish William Stanback could have gotten one extra yard. Because he went 9 carries for 68 yards. He missed the mark. Another note, though, Montreal's defense is, even though I just finished saying, yes, Cody went only had 5 incompletions, 3 touchdowns. So what I'm about to say might sound a little odd, but I'm going to stand by it. Montreal's defense is the entire reason why they won the Grey Cup.
That's fair.
It all stems back to really the game against Toronto when they made Toronto turn the ball over, what was it, like 7 times. This game, their defense had, I believe, is 2 interceptions. One being in the end zone when Winnipeg, if they got that touchdown, they win the Grey Cup. There was very little time left on the clock. Sure, no lead is safe in the CFL, blah, blah, blah. But at that point, I think Winnipeg would have been up by, trying to do some stone math. It is not working. It would have been like 31 to 23 or something at that point if Winnipeg ended up scoring, but they didn't. And Zach Caleros, kind of, this stems from the whole Montreal's defense just playing on a whole another level, where he went 19 for 23, 236 yards. So you got decent completion percentage, decent yardage, but 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. I thought he threw a second one. I guess there's only that one in the end zone, which ended up being a very costly turnover.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I guess, sorry, the other turnover Winnipeg had 2 other turnovers. One was off special teams, which was a fumble, and then there was the goal line stand at the 1 yard line with about 20 seconds left to go in the first half, which during halftime, all the, people, both Levi Mitchell was actually on the panel, which I'm going to get to in a second. And then whatever his name is. And then Paul LaPolice, they were kind of having a debate about the whole last few seconds of the first half when Montreal turned the ball over. The debate was, should they have just gone for 3 points instead of try to get the touchdown on 3rd down? They ended up not getting it. So I kind of tossed the question to you, Austin. In that situation, at that point, they were, 17-7. So Montreal was down by 10. Would you have gone just for the most likely the guaranteed 3 points, or do you do what Montreal ended up doing and attempt for the touchdown? What do you do in that situation?
Well, I think an important question is this real life or is this a video game? Because video game, 10 times out of 10, I'm going for it. Mm-hmm. However, real life, it's hard not to take the more sure thing. It's not a guarantee, but it's definitely more of a sure thing. It's hard to go against the easy points. I don't know, but
I mean, in hindsight, I guess it didn't matter because Montreal ended up winning the game anyways.
It's true.
But there was definitely a point in the game where, well, hell, Montreal came out. They got the ball in the third quarter, second half.
Yeah.
And then they ended up scoring a touchdown, bringing the game within three. If they went for three at the end of the first half, the game's tied.
Right.
But they were able to pull out in the first half or fourth quarter anyways, so didn't really matter. Yeah, I just very much love a true underdog story, and that's what the Montreal Alouettes were. Everyone counted them out with the whole owner situation to start the season. Both Jason Moss, Cody Fajardo were the odd man out in Sask. Not looking forward to being like, oh, you should have kept these guys. I'm not doing that voice again. We all heard how that turned out. But
yeah.
I am not looking forward to my Monday morning social media feeds at all. Facebook, everything. It's not going to be fun. But oh, I sidetracked my brain. Yeah, more power to Montreal. And yeah, they were able to win the Grey Cup. And now full off-season mode. And I know there's a few coaching positions available around the league. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But this was one of the better Grey Cup games I've seen in a long time. It came right down to the wire, which that's what every sports fan wants, and especially in the big game, is a close, hard-fought battle. Also, the game was, I think there was only like three or four flags all game.
Dang.
So it was probably a combination of A, the refs, you know, keeping the flag close to their pocket, which again, you generally see that in playoff games, but you never want a game to be decided by the officials when you're playing for a championship. So the players kept it clean. I didn't really notice any crazy missed calls. Possible one pass in interference, but Austin Mack ended up making a remarkable catch when the defender was pulling on his one arm. I mean, if he didn't make that catch, and then if the flag didn't come out,
right,
I would question that. But that's really all I have on this game. Like, fourth quarter, it looked like Montreal, or Winnipeg was going to run down the clock like they always do with Brady Oliveira, who's an absolute beast. I have to say he's phenomenal running back with 19 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown himself. Is
not bad, not bad.
Not too shabby. Mr. The true Mr. Austin, do you have anything else that you want to add about this game? Or
mostly that I will say it is good that Winnipeg didn't win. Definitely a good part of this game. Good for Montreal for being the underdogs and coming in there and fucking shit up. Yeah,
it's always nice to see a bunch of misfits come together, because that's what they were. They're a bunch of tossaways from other teams, other leagues. And they ended up coming together and winning a Grey Cup. Like, hell, you had people like Sean Lemon, who Calgary didn't want him at the start of the season, and gets cut, I believe, in training camp. No one wants him throughout, like, half the season. Montreal ends up picking him up. He has an outstanding half of the year. Playoffs were amazing. He had a sack in a Grey Cup, wins a Grey Cup. Guys like Darnell Sankey, I have to throw this out there, talk about double dipping. He had a great season with Sask as far as his stats go last year. The team didn't do well, but, and then he goes to the XFL, ends up winning the championship there, comes to Montreal halfway through the season, ends up winning the Grey Cup. So that guy's played a lot of football.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what the offseason brings. And next episode, just a little, what do you want to call it? Peek out what's to come is, I'll be doing a deep dive on the season that that is now no more. So congrats, Montreal, on winning the 110th Grey Cup. And on that note, Austin, I think you want to talk some hockey, don't you, my friend?
Well, I do, but I got something in my eye here and it's fucking me up.
Well, you don't need your eye to speak.
No, but I do to see and read. Anyway, yeah, we got some hockey talk. We got some hockey talk. This one, unfortunately, is not exactly a high note to start on, but Milan Lucic is in the news, and not for being an all-star hockey player. Although he hasn't really been effective since 2011. Sorry, my eyes are rough right now. Lucic's wife called 911, told Boston police her husband attacked her and choked her. He was also appeared to be drunk. So, not a good look. Bad.
All out bad.
I've seen this before. Not from him, but in real no. life, it's a bad time. So, no, if it is, in fact, true, if it is all legit, then no sympathy for him.
At this point, it is just allegations, so we do have to...
Yeah,
say that
it's true, but not a good time. But
I was just also going to say, I'm not trying to, give him any type of out or anything like that, but I am very shocked and surprised, wow, that word was a struggle, that we're hearing this type of news come from a guy like Lucic, because from everything that I've witnessed and read and seen about the guy, yes, he's an enforcer on the ice, but he appears to be one of the nicest people that I've heard do any type of interviews and stuff, but I guess that just shows that you might not necessarily know the what some people necessarily are capable of. Not saying that not saying like this is a norm or anything like that for him, but yeah, I'm just shocked and kind of speechless.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's but moving on, we got John Klingberg. So for those of you who don't remember, Klingberg signed on as a free agent this year with Toronto this summer. And I think he's at about $5 million a season just for a year. But he is, if you've paid attention to any Leafs games, he's not looked good. In fact, he's looked quite bad. And as it turns out, he's been playing through an injury. I guess this is an injury that has affected him for throughout his career. But he's usually been able to work through it. I guess at this point, it's just too much. He, quote, hit a rock bottom these last few weeks. So that's not good.
Yeah, that's never a good thing to hear.
He underwent double hip surgery back in 2014. And he's been dealing with the hamstring and mobility issues since then. Sorry, I was wrong on the contract. It's 4.15. Excuse me. But he's played 14 games. He's got 4 assists and a -7. Now, plus minus is not the end of the world. But for a supposed offensive defenseman, 4 assists in 14 games is not cutting it.
No.
So he has been healthy scratched. Because it's not officially LTIR or whatever. I'm not sure exactly, but it's tough for him because Klingberg is definitely a guy you heard about for a few years when he was in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Really, really impressive offensive defenseman, but kind of fell off a cliff, went to Anaheim on a 1-year deal, was bad, but Anaheim was bad. And now to Toronto on a 1-year deal, and Toronto isn't bad, but Klingberg has been, and it seems like if he can't get through this injury stuff, then it's gonna probably be, it might be over for him.
Yeah, he's 31 years old, so he's getting up there as far as hockey terms goes. So
he's not getting younger, and he's had lingering injury issues for years. I hope he can get through it, honestly, for his sake and for the team's sake. But it's not looking like it.
Yeah, but, I mean, one player that comes to mind instantly when we're talking about this type of stuff, especially hip stuff, is Sean Monahan. That was a player that people were like, oh, his he's injury prone, which is true, but he's not having an all-star season right now, but he's in Montreal, he's doing not too bad. So I never say never, I guess, but
right,
yeah, hopefully for his sake, because I enjoy Klingberg as a player, and I think if he's healthy, he still has a little bit left in the tank. So yeah,
he's got to get through these injuries.
But again, like at his age, it's easier said than done. So
it is. But speaking of the Leafs, we got some crazy stuff going on. So, well, first of all, we got hockey in Sweden in the middle of the season. Well, not the middle, but you know what I mean. We've had a few games in Sweden, and Toronto played a couple games. This one, the Nylander extended his point streak to 16 games with a goal and two assists against the Red Wings. And then what he did, well, that's not flashy enough. So today the Leafs played Minnesota, and Willie Nylander extended his streak to 17 games with a OT winner. Actually, he had assist earlier in the game, but he did score the OT winner. William Nylander, 17-game point streak. I think he's got like 25 or 26 points.
Well, according to this article, he has 25 points in the 16-game streak. So,
okay, so then he'd have 27 and 17, which is pretty damn good.
It's absolutely insane.
The fact that the dude has almost played 20 games this season without missing a point, like, that's bonkers. That's bananas. And
on a contract year, mind
you. Well, and that's what everyone's talking about, because, boy, sure are they regretting not signing him before this year.
Whoopsies.
Because before the year started, there was reports out there of Willie asking for $10 million. And everyone was like, whoa. That's way too much for, oh, he's got points in 17 straight. Leads the team in points.
yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, I don't know if we talked about this off the pod or on the pod. I can't remember. But I know... I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that Nylander, he's not a Leaf next year. He either gets traded at the trade deadline or he gets a big signing from whoever. I don't even know. Well, actually, I have a little theory that...
Okay, what do you got? Let's go. Let's go. Rumors.
All right, I'll start this. This might be a little biased, but...
Okay, here we go.
Well, no, just hear me out, because there is a few players on the Calgary Flames that are also asking for a decent decent amount of coin that everyone's has rumored they potentially might not want to be a Calgary Flames. So... maybe use some of that money to, I'm saying like $12 million. Nylander can play for Calgary. What you saying, bud?
I really don't think he's gonna go to Calgary.
Well, that is the thing I'm started. And now, if it becomes true, I am the smartest man on the planet.
It's true. However, I think he would want to go to a cup contender. And I'm sorry, buddy. The Flames are not looking like a cup contender.
Not this year.
No.
But I'm talking about different years.
Yeah, but this is the offseason that he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
He resigns, so...
I can hope. A boy can dream.
I've been hearing a lot of talk about the Flames considering rebuild.
I've heard that too. I've heard lots of stuff, but they're also starting to do a few things right now. So we might get that more into the next thing that we're talking about. But
well, that could have just been a really nice segue, but instead you.
Well, you fucked mine up, so I might as well fuck yours up too. There.
Well, I guess that's
fair, my guy.
Get out of here.
Fine. So, see ya.
You want to hear a cool thing?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway.
I'm not going to listen.
We're almost a quarter of the way into the season. And as a result, we got some stats. We got some stuff to talk about. And right off the top, boy, oh boy, the Vancouver Canucks. Buddy, they are... Oh, it's weird. I'm getting some interference here. But yeah, the Canucks, 12-5-1. Still, I just want to double check here. Yeah, still the owner of the best plus minus in the league or team a goal differential. So suck on that, Vegas.
Still happen to lose to the Flames. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, that's cool. And let me just check on the how far down are the Flames? Oh wow. Oh crazy. Wow, they are way down there. Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, we did lose to the Flames because, you know, we felt bad for them. I mean, they don't have as many wins as they do losses. And that's just, that's kind of sad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. we'll be having this discussion closer to trade deadline when the same guy, the true Mr. Austin, is being like, let's sell the farm. Canucks suck.
No.
Who not are the happen. Canucks?
Not going to happen. It's going to be really cool at the trade deadline when the Canucks pick up William Nylander for some draft picks and just absolutely wreck the world. At that point, William Nylander will be at like a 50-game point streak.
What does this pod come to? Is this just the fancy Morgan Austin talking Stonewall game franchise?
I don't think your name has to be first. I think alphabetical. We should go alphabetical, and then it'll be me first.
So there's been other things that have been going on in the sport of the NHL. Austin.
It's true. You want to hear about them?
Yes, they're please.
Also about the Canucks.
Oh fuck!
So guess who's the cool thing? The other cool thing is that there's a three-way tie for first in points in the league. Before tonight, I don't think anybody's caught up, but we got JT Miller, Elias Patterson, and
how many hoops can I have to drown this guy out?
Three players from the same team.
I bet I can have another one here. Let's find out, guys.
It's actually the highest amount of points by a trio of players from a team.
Yeah, I'm just really in the season it. Since, we can just ignore
since the Ottawa Senators back in the day with Danny Heatley, Daniel Alfredson, and Jason Spezza. Hey, you said you wanted to talk about other things, and you got them. But actually, you know what? You're right. You know what we should actually talk about? The league leaders in assists. Because so far, let's just go top five, okay? Can we do top five?
You're going to anyways.
I sure am. So number one, we have Quinn Hughes at 21. Tied for second, we have...
I hate him so much.
Kale McCarr. And who? Elias Pettersson. And then third and fourth, we got JT Miller and Philip Hronek, who are
so both everyone out there, Vancouver Canucks. Stay stoned and stay safe.
But you know what? It's okay. You know what? Let's talk about plus minus.
But
so you know who's tied for the first place in the league in plus minus? You guessed it. Quinn Hughes.
We lost him, guys. He's just a free ranger.
So power play points. Number two in the league, Quinn Hughes, 14
I
points.
Really JT wish Miller he was the one having issues with his laptop and not me.
I don't use a laptop.
Shut up.
And Demko is tied for second in shutouts with two.
Okay.
Now, on a serious note, I will say Kyle Connor leading the league in goals right now. He's got 14 goals. He's played.
Well, technically, he's tied with Matthews. Hello?
No, I'm here. You know, shut the fuck up.
No.
I already said these stats were before today's games, guy.
I wasn't listening to you, guy, or my guy.
I'm not your guy.
I didn't know Jonathan Quick was still playing.
Yeah, he's playing on the Rangers.
And he's doing quite well with 1.98 goals against average.
Holy shit, what?
Yeah. I just noticed that as you're talking about your whole goals stuff. So I take a look at the goalies.
Jeremy Swayman, though, 1.73. Not bad. There's some good goalies. Sports.
But this really hasn't been much of a recap so far.
I don't know. We've been talking about points and stuff. I don't know.
Have you had any particular surprises that...
Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say that the Canucks are a huge surprise. The fact that they're fourth in the league after almost 20 games
if we're being insane. Completely non-biased people here, I am also very shocked. I'm not going to lie. That from how the team ended last year.
Also how the team has been for the last 12 years.
More or less, basically since the Sedins have left.
Even longer than that.
Yeah, a couple years prior to that. I will also say I'm also surprised about the Bruins. Because I think I said, because especially with the centers that they...
fucking Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci.
That they lost in the offseason.
Yep.
Proving me wrong with that. But, I mean, again, we're still only not even technically at the one quarter mark yet. So,
just about, though.
Pretty damn close. By the time you guys hear this, some teams will be.
It's true.
Oh, excuse me. Golden Knights, they've been able to keep up there. Strong performance after winning the Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah, they heard about that whole Stanley Cup hangover thing and was like, I don't believe in that. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, my mind is... Oh, I hear myself now. That's interesting. Now it stopped. We're good now.
Okay.
We're just about at the end of the pod anyways. I was just looking. Connor Bedard, I mean, we might as well talk about him as much as I don't want to, but everyone else is. he's had a solid. Now, the type of sample size, I know in the past I've it's only a few games. This calmer tits, you know. Hold on a second, but a quarter of the way in. I don't have his stats right in front of me, but
I do.
Well, that was loud. he's been having a pretty solid start to his NHL career. Throws some stats our way there. Buckaroo.
Yeah, so he's played 15 games. In those 15 games, he's got 9 goals, 4 assists. No, 5 assists for 14 points. So almost a point per game. 6 block shots. He's even got 11 hits. he's shooting at 20%, which is insane. He is a -7, but he is playing on Chicago. So that's kind of to be expected.
And he's not coming into the league right now based on his defensive ability.
No. That'll come later.
That if he wants to keep progressing his NHL career, that will be the one thing that he will have to constantly work on, because it, nowadays, in order to succeed in the NHL, you have to be a good 200-foot player, no matter if you're offense or defense.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
No, I'll eat my words a little bit on him. I still think he would do even better on the wing. I really do.
You might not be wrong. And it could be a potential of maybe, like, because his faceoff percentage isn't great. So at least for the first little bit, or maybe on the power play, you know, throw him on the wing, give him less defensive responsibility and more just like, hey, score goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know he can. That shot, like, some of his highlights have been insane. His release is nuts.
Because if you look at some of the top defenders or top centermen in the league, they're not just good on the faceoffs. They're good at defending.
Sure.
Even a guy like McDavid, who's known for his offense, I've seen him be able to get back and back check. I mean, it helps when he can skate miles an hour, but miles an hour.
He's so fast.
He stops time.
Hey, Morgan, speeding. Guess what?
What?
Did you hear that?
Do I want to?
I don't know. Did you?
I don't think I did. Is this good for audio podcasts?
Well, it would have been, yeah.
Hmm. Now, okay, is this just awkward?
It sure is.
Good thing we're not professionals.
Good thing. I think we're running dry here.
Yeah, I really do. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we need to talk about.
Sorry, I just got some news here. I got some breaking news.
Ooh.
The Calgary Flames.
Oh, fuck off. Everyone out there.
Have traded Chris Tanev.
Mm-hmm.
Nikita Zadorov.
Mm-hmm.
Elias Lindholm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In exchange for William Nylander. And a 2024 first round pick.
I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to that.
Really? You give up two decent, pretty decent defensemen and a pretty damn good centerman for...
Well, Zadorov's a dead man walking anyways.
Yeah, he's out of there at some point.
I do want to backtrack a little bit now that we kind of half-assed brought that up. I will say, for Zadorov, I give him 110. He's been so professional about this whole situation, because it was his agent that tweeted. He didn't even know the tweet was going out, so he says.
Wow.
So he says.
He can say things.
I still give him props for just, you know, not just washing away from the media the best he can, just putting his head down, playing hockey, still playing great.
Yep.
And he's doing his job.
The cool thing is he's playing great, even on a terrible team.
Okay, on that note... Stay stoned and stay safe.
I'm going to wait 4 minutes before I say bye.